Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. When David asked me to preach this Sunday, he recommended these texts, and I had thought about them, and in thinking about them, I have the feeling this may be one of the most important sermons I've ever preached. And I've been at it for 60 plus years. I told John he was too young to retire, and he said to me, "You're too old." C'est la vie. But I think most of us have been in shock and awe about what's happened in these last weeks. It's been true all over the world, but Haiti comes home. And the mayhem and madness that broke forth as the earth trembled, and the majesty and might that has been demonstrated in the response of caring people around the world is very moving. I thought the other day, just walking out to pick up a paper, what it would be like to turn around and find my home gone. What's it done to your life? What's it done to our life? I think these texts are fascinating. They all are, but Luke shows us the imagination and wonder in Jesus' ministry. When the man comes up in that age-old story, "Make my brother share with me." Now, we've all heard that, we've all cried that, we've probably said that, and then Jesus came back with an interesting word. "What makes you think I'm your judge or your mediator?" In other words, grow up and work on some of these things. But he took advantage of the text. He didn't take him off the hot seat. But he said, "You know, I want to tell you a story. Take care of greed. Life doesn't consist in things. It's not in what you have, even if you have a lot." Now, I want to translate this because we don't live in an agrarian society. So if you'll pardon me, an Avery Manchester translation. It's the story of a man who had a great year in the market. The bonuses and the profits were beyond his wildest dreams. And so he said to himself, "You know, what can I do with this great abundance? The fund that I've set up is full and I can't do any more about it. But I know what I'll do. I'm going to set up one in Switzerland. I'm going to have another cache of gold. And then I can do something down in the Cayman Islands. And surely that will hedge my risk, and I have done so well. It is so good. And what a time I'm going to have." And before the breath had left his body, the earth shook and spoke and swallowed it all up. And then said in the echo of the dust, "What have you got? What do you have?" And then Timothy is struggling, and the text is too short here, but you can read it. And he said, "You know, the devout life really will bring wealth, but not what you can count in one way. It's in the simplicity of your life." It's a gift to be simple, it's a gift to be free. to be who you are before God. Now let me tell you, an easy, comfortable conscience with an open mind and heart comes out of that sense of God opening the heart and making it real. He said, you know, we came into this world naked and we'll leave it naked. The shroud doesn't have any pockets. And he said, look out, lest you fall into temptation. Be trapped by desire, and things fall to destruction. Because the love of money is the root of evil. It's not that money is the root of all evil. That's been so badly translated. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. The lust for it takes us down the slippery slope of a fall from faith. Now, you know very well that line that was echoed over and over again, that greed is good. You remember hearing that? And another leader in the financial community said, I'm doing the work of God. Now, there's a certain amount of arrogance that comes with this, but need and greed get so easily confused. And it's really, I think, greed comes out of fear, and generosity comes out of faith. Now, we can't pitch it in other places because we're all sinners. We all have it to one degree or another. And I think that greed is like cancer. My medical friends tell me we've all got some cells, but you never know what's going to want to set it out and loosen it up and turn it wild. And so often it rages the body before we discover how it is metastasized through us. But these little cells get ambitious and lose their place in the workup of the body so that then they consume it. And hello, I think that's a parable of greed. And I think that we have to redefine salvation, because it just doesn't mean taking an individual soul and getting it to heaven. It's really talking about seeing something more than ourselves, seeing the other, living out an understanding and a reality before God. I was walking down Park Avenue to my office last week, and there was a sign on a bus stop talking about the community fund or something like that. And it said, community, it's not about me, it's about we. But that's the Christian position too. Community is about we, not just me. And if we don't get that balance, we get it lost. Beyond self. That, I think it was Howard Thurman said in the dedication of the Boston University Chapel when asked to speak about it, and he said, the only secure place to put our trust is in the heart of our fellow man. Now, if I had the funds, I'd give you all a gift for Lent. And it would be this new book by Jim Wallis calling Rediscovering Values on Wall Street, Main Street, and Your Street. It's a dynamic, as Jim Wallis is, talking about the fact that what is confronting us is not simply a financial crisis. It's a moral crisis. It's a crisis in understanding of who and where we are in the community, how we find our place, and how we overcome that innate thing in all of us of allowing the need to become greed and we become forgetful of our fellow human beings and who and where we are, and find our place. And then I think an understanding of that came for me through Krista Tippett. I hope that you all listened to Speaking of Faith by Krista Tippett on public radio on the weekend. She is one of the greatest gifts that God has given the community, because she interprets these things of faith and understanding and community. And recently she had an interview of Jean Vanier, who founded the L'Arche communities in France, and now they've spread around the world. This community for challenged, disabled, limited persons was established by Vanier, and Henry Nouwen lifted it up for us on his Road to Daybreak, because he left academia here and became chaplain up in Canada in one of these communities. And Vanier was in Paris, went to a mental hospital, and saw how people were warehoused. And it isn't just in mental hospitals where people are warehoused. They're warehoused in shops, and they're warehoused in all kinds of places in life. But he saw them and said, I've got to do something about it. He rented a house, brought them in, and worked with them lovingly, and helped these people who were being drawn in to expand, and it was a resurrection community because they came alive. I saw Henry Nouwen, and he brought somebody from a large community, and yes, they have limitations, but they have gifts, and the way he have opened them up has created a dynamic community. And then when Vanier, who is a student of Aristotle, wrote a book on Aristotle's treatise on happiness, she said, what's your greatest love? And what do you suppose Vanier said? Reality. Reality. Now, there's the foundation for faith. But we have to be careful, because some of our realities are a little confused, so they have to be interpreted in terms of community, so that we're looking at reality. And then she said to him, and then how do you serve that? And he said, with compassion. Now, how that would arm us in the living of the life of faith, if we're trained to love reality, not fantasy, not fiction, not illusion, but reality, life as it is, and then to deal with it with compassion, a loving involvement. Not simply the consumption and the competition that destroy us, but the antidote for the cancer in the society of having compassion that works in the hearts of a people, and we share it and we know it, but letting that loose, amazing. So Jesus said, take care. But take care of what? Take care of whom? Take care how? Our gifts to Haiti are important. But if we don't deal with the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness of the structures of a society that is oppressed for 200 years, all our feeding will be futile, because generations to come will not be freed. But in other societies, in our own society, you know, we're getting a government that can be bought, that's not democratic. So we have to face individually, but we have to look socially and morally at the demands upon us, so that we can see the reality of how people are being played with and come to the compassion of dealing with why and how and what can happen. Today is a celebration for the conversion of St. Paul. And you recall how he was going up to stop these people who were embarrassing and hurting and pulling away. Because he was serving a system. But back before, He held the jackets of the people who were stoning Stephen, who believed that something was more important than his own place and his own power. And lightning struck, and he was freed. He was freed to live before God, as the scriptures tell us. And look at the gifts of St. Paul. Have you had a Damascus road? Doesn't have to be that dramatic. But we need to be open. Because, friends, the Spirit is at work among us. We see and feel its evidence. Let us not be afraid, but let us embrace it and enter into a life of faith that has enough for all if it's shared. Amen.